Welcome to the podcast with Face, Pat, and Tiz.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast. A show with three friends separated by distance, connected by brotherhood, having weekly conversations that you can join in on. As always, I am one third of the partners, your boy Tiz, and I'm along with
other third of the partners. Just got vax, Pat. Yeah, and I'm a little slow, so y'all bear with me this episode. And I'm along with dramatic pause.
What's happening? It's your boy facing the sleep. I'm somewhere in the middle of this race, but I'm pushing motherfuckers out the way so I can get ahead of that.
Well, that's just fine, bro. You are where you're supposed to be, man. How you fellas doing this week, guys?
I'm copacetic, but I'm making it to be better day by day. So,
right on. Yeah. Right on.
I'll let you know by the end of the week. I'm all wonky right now.
Why are you wonky, Matt?
All right, so I might as well put in my story. So I finally decided to go get the vaccine. Okay. And really the only reason I got it was main is because the job is required now. I mean, I don't work in a work from home, but they say just in case something happens with my computer, which in the case of me, my computer always go through something all the time. I may have to go in the office, so it required me to get vaxxed or whatever. So, yeah. I really didn't even feel it when they stuck me. And I say when they stuck me, but I actually went to the place my stepdad works at, and he was the one that actually gave me the vax. So I felt a lot better about it because it's somebody I know
that's comforting.
That actually gave me the vax. And not that many people have that opportunity, I guess you would say, whatever, at least, you know, I don't got some random. I have somebody that I feel comfortable with vaccinating me. So, yeah. I had to take a, you know, Tylenol or whatever when I got home, because that's what he told me to do. Take like a Tylenol or something.
Tylenol?
Yeah.
Tylenol. I've never heard it called that in my life. A Tylenol.
Tylenol. I don't know.
Not the shorts, but the Tylenol.
Hey, y'all know.
I'm pretty sure it's Tylenol, but we're gonna let it slide.
Yeah, it still don't sound right when I say it like that, so I want to say that.
Right on. You anyway, said how you know it, man. I got a cousin that says palo instead of pillow, so I get it.
I'm country, but I don't know if I'm that country. I say pillow, but yeah. He just said that, so if I have like any pain or whatever, it's already took him, and he said I'll take one before I go to sleep. And tell you the truth, I'm like halfway sleepy already.
right on. Well, hopefully you'll make it through this episode and you won't pull a me or a face and nod off at some point. So yeah,
I hope so. Yeah,
we got wonky Pat tonight, folks. Wonky Pat.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, my brethren? How are you doing this week?
I guess that takes us into our first topic that we'll kick it off with. So it's been a long week. Posh Quiet people will probably notice that it's been a few less videos this week. So we always talk about mental health on here and the importance of saying when you're not okay and using supports and reaching out for resources. So this past week at my job, I basically had a mental break. I don't know whether you would call it a full psychotic break or anything, but I definitely had a breakdown of sorts. Found out some interesting news. Not really ready to share that or put that out there, but found out some interesting news that affects my family. But for some reason, that news, whereas normally I would have, I guess, kind of just dealt with it. For some reason, it made every issue that I've experienced in the past 30 odd years, man, just kind of flood at one time. I thought about cousins' deaths that I blame myself for. I thought about like my childhood and things I missed out on. Thought about how this news was going to affect my family in the immediate. I thought about what am I to blame? Like I had a bunch of guilt feeling. Like it was just crazy. Basically broke down in front of everybody at my job. Couldn't breathe. From what I've heard people describe a panic attack as, I guess that would be the closest thing that I can just correlate it to. So got taken out of work. Yeah. And basically from there, I went and saw a psychiatrist and got diagnosed, basically just to kind of get a roadmap as to what I need to do, because I don't know. For me, I've always been a person that prided myself on being very mentally and emotionally in control. When I was angry, I wanted to be angry. When I was sad, I kind of was allowing myself to be that way, or so I thought. Thought I was okay, but apparently I was not. And apparently I've been just kind of masking and suppressing feelings, thinking that it was me actually coping. For the first time I felt out of control. So I went to a psychiatrist, got diagnosed, and basically I have anxiety disorder and I have severe depression. Luckily it's not of the like manic or suicidal, but I definitely do have strong withdrawal tendencies. And I thought about like checking out of society several times, like just kind of running away and just hiding from everything. Yeah. And it's weird because I'm usually the goofy one or the one that's kind of like cracking jokes, but I guess that's kind of like been my way of like acting like things were okay. And it really wasn't. So I've been put on some anxiety and depression meds. So I've been dealing with the physical effects of that. They don't really do much for me emotionally or mentally for the next week or so, 2 weeks, they said. It takes a week or two to kind of actually like fully level hormone levels out and stuff in my system and kind of get me to that place where I actually feel different. But I definitely got grief counseling that I have been mandated, and I have therapy that has been mandated. So I'll be starting that Thursday. But yeah, man, that's how I'm doing, man. I'm not okay, but I'm okay to say I'm not okay. Right now I'm just kind of in a, I don't know. That psychiatrist appointment was like really, really like eye-opening. It kind of brought up a lot of shit that I ain't talked about or thought about or dealt with since I was maybe 19, 20 at best. So emotionally raw, pause is kind of how I feel right now, like just real drained there. Been really just trying to maintain, kind of like trying to keep things out of the way of the little man so he don't get affected by it and don't throw him off. Been trying to like, you know, deal with the news I actually got with the wife, you know, and support her through it as best as I can in my state. So yeah, that's where I'm at, man. So Pause Squad, if y'all don't see videos as often for the next few weeks or whatever, man, just know it's because I'm taking a mental health day, or I'm just kind of getting shit together, or I have an appointment for something or something, or the meds got me a little off. But yeah, it's weird saying it out loud, I guess, because like I said, I've always been the in control guy, the guy that like kind of a lot of people in my family and like my closer circles like kind of come to for advice around shit like this. Or like to be the one that's on fucking meds and shit and having to see, you know, a doctor more, not because I want to, but because it's actually been prescribed, it's kind of weird. So I'm just kind of dealing with that and what that looks like for me. Yeah, man, that's where I'm at. I'm not okay, but I'm at least okay to say I'm not okay. Yeah.
And that's the first step to getting okay.
Yeah, man. So that's where shit is with that. I've been trying to like, you know, kind of find my little place of normalcy in some things. Yeah, man, it's weird as hell, man. It's been a weird, scary ass week. Like right now, my fucking chest is pounding. Yeah. That's how I'm doing.
A lot of people. You know, a lot of people keep that to themselves. And I think that at this time, it's probably best that you vent that out because you haven't had a chance to vent it out yet. Like, more often you vent it out, the more you feel relieved. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. But yeah.
Yep.
A lot stronger than you think you are, man.
That's the hard part, man. It's like trying to get back to the place where you actually feel that way. Like I used to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people saying it, you know what I mean? So it's just actually getting to a place where I can actually like believe that shit again, man. Because I don't see it, bro. Like, shit feel out of control right now, bro. And I hate that shit, but it's where I'm at. So it is what it is, man. But I will tell you that the good thing is this podcast actually helps. Part of my regimen from the psychiatrist is like, I gotta start avoiding withdrawing. Like, I have to actually work my social skills. Cause like one of the things I realized is like, I talk to people about what's going on. Like, I say what's going on, but I don't always know how to really express how I really feel. How to even really interpret how I feel truly about it. And I think that's part of the problem. Like, I just throw labels around, but I don't really know if that's what I'm really feeling. Like, you know, sometimes I'll be like, you know, I'm just frustrated, but maybe I am actually really pissed off about it. Maybe I'm, you know, shit like that. So like, I think a big part of this process is like being more social and like, cause you know, I'm an introvert anyway. And then on top of that, like outside of talking to y'all, like I have a habit of like withdrawing from the few friends I do have down here and like the coworkers I got that actually be trying to, you know, create those social ties. I'll like kind of like shy away from it. So like, I know it's me, man. Like I even shy away from my wife a lot, man. Like I'll go into my little man cave and kind of just hide away in video games or editing or working on something for the pod or everything, but actually having real valuable social interactions. Like I interact more in chat rooms than I do in real life, you know what I mean, with people. So like, I feel like that's part of the problem, and I definitely understand why I'm being prescribed there. So the good thing is that I get to still meet with y'all, and you know what I mean, it just pushes me to actually talk to y'all more and like actually like try to figure out how I feel about shit. So yeah, bros, that's where we at this week, champs. God damn it. But what I ain't about to do, man, I ain't about to be on his bitch crying and shit today. So far, I've held that shit together. I ain't about to be like one of these boohoo ass banger niggas. No, fuck that shit. Not in front of me. Sure. But what I will say is I've definitely done a lot more crying in the past week than I've done in my entire life. So definitely I've had to stay hydrated, you know? And yeah, man. To everybody out there who maybe dealing with shit and you feel like weird and you feel like shit is off, don't do like I do and just keep acting like shit okay. Don't try to work through it or don't try to like, oh, I'll just keep on, you know, working out or I'll just keep on eating or I'll just keep on smoking or drinking or whatever it is that you do that allows you to run away from shit that's actually happening to you, man. Like, don't. Like, stop. Go get help. Don't be afraid of being on medicine, man. Like, don't be afraid of whatever help you need to be okay, man. Like, start that process and, like, get that shit. Because it was embarrassing as hell to, like, break down in front of my coworkers and shit. And if I can save somebody else that embarrassment and that, just that not knowing what's wrong with you, but knowing that something's wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I don't heard Padawan talk about his struggles with anxiety and Face talk about his struggles with anxiety, but, like, shit that I was attributing to, like, PTSD or, like, just, oh, you know, it's just the pandemic or whatever. Like, this shit is real life. Like, actually, there's something going on there. It's a legitimate diagnosis there. So, like, the worst part is not knowing and just going through life thinking there's something wrong with you. It's better to know, like, okay, so this is what I'm going through. I'm not experiencing something. I'm not, like, losing my mind. I'm actually, like, I just need to do these things. So get help. If you need to talk about it, you know what I mean, hit us up in the inbox. I'll reach back out to you, man. Like, I'll share my resources with you so that you can get whatever help you need as well. And, yeah, man, hope my shit helps somebody else. We can move on from that. I don't know. But yeah.
I think this is a good thing. I think men need to have more talks like this because we don't have talks like this. We're taught to keep everything in, and in our years of studies nowadays, our modern studies, that's learned that that method is what's killing us. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think this is good. So men in general will be more comfortable with actually feeling comfortable expressing how they feel. Pretty much.
I hope it helps somebody. And if it don't, you know, I don't know. I feel like at least I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and at least doing what I was told and talking about it and getting it off my chest and, you know.
On some real shit, Tiz, this actually, I don't want to say you going through, I wouldn't wish this on nobody, but like, I've had those moments where I felt like my chest is pounded. I don't know what's going on and I'm having a headache and I'm thinking everything that I've got done wrong in life over and over going in my head. I felt that man. Before.
Yeah, man.
And to be God honest with you, like the hardest thing about it is you feel like you're the only one that goes through this. You feel like there's something else wrong with you, but you're not the only one, man. It makes me feel a lot better about, all right, I'm not just weak.
No, bro, you're just like me, man. And that's all right. I definitely, you know, the creative in me, I definitely want to do some type of content or segment weekly, like, or bi-weekly, whatever, like what we like add in, like some type of mental health check-in on each other and like have these talks about like how we feeling and like what's going on emotionally like that week or mentally that week. Like, because I feel like you're right. We don't talk about it. Like we've talked about it, but we talked around it. Like we didn't actually like dig into like, you know, how am I actually doing this week? Am I okay? Like, I know I'm saying I'm okay, but like, am I actually okay? Like,
We're so programmed to just say that. So, because we don't want, I don't want my petty problems to be somebody else's burden. Or yep. I don't want people to be thinking or worrying about me or whatever when there's something that I know I got to overcome anyway. That's how I feel about that. And I know if I feel about that, then somebody else feels the same way.
Yeah, man. I'm going to go ahead and move on just because
I feel you.
Yeah. Yeah. But somebody out there needs to talk. Hit me up. I'll listen. ThePartnersPodcast@gmail.com. I'll listen. So, yeah. So that's how I'm doing this week. And because of that, it brings me great pleasure to actually go into this next topic so that I can actually like get some joy back, kind of get back on track and not derail this show with my fucking depression problems. So that takes me into the positive Black news, the good shit that Black people are doing, experiencing, receiving, just going through this week, the good shit, the happy shit, the joyful stuff. And my first story comes to us from news1.com. Janelle Monáe's new song is drawing attention to Black girls and women who've been killed by police. So ahead of International Daughters Day on September 26th, Janelle Monáe recently released a 17-minute long collaborative tribute song called Say Her Name in honor of 61 Black women and girls from ages 7 to 93 who've lost their lives due to police violence. Say Her Name follows up on Monáe's previous collaborative protest anthem, 2015's Hell You Talking About. While speaking with People, the musician explained that she wanted the latest project to bring more awareness to victim stories that mainstream media hasn't covered. Also, she wanted to allow their families an opportunity to be able to hear people sharing their stories about their daughters as the human beings they were and as the daughters they were. So salute to Queen Janelle Monáe for providing that platform for awareness and just kind of reminding people of, you know, not only that we've had a lot of kings murdered at the hands of police brutality over the past few years, We've definitely had a lot of queens that we've lost along the way as well. And a lot of times those queens get overlooked. So salute to Janelle Monae for bringing awareness to that. And, you know, yeah, man, just spreading light onto that. Yeah. Again, the name of the song is Say Her Name. So if you can support that, please go out and check that out. Check out the video on YouTube, you know, all of that good stuff. But just, you know, put some support behind this. This is a good look. For the second story of the night, on the positive Black news, Representative Karen Bass could be gearing up for a mayoral run. Sources say the California congresswoman is considering a run for mayor of Los Angeles. California Democratic Representative Karen Bass is gearing up to run for mayor of Los Angeles. At least that's what sources close to the congresswoman are saying. The 67-year-old politician was named as a potential vice presidential running mate to President Biden during the 2020 elections. And now Bass's name is being mentioned as part of the field competing for a chance to replace the city's current mayor, Eric Garcetti, one of the two, who is term limited. So salute to this queen. Hopefully she gets a chance to actually, you know, run for mayor of Los Angeles. California's been doing a lot of really progressive things in the area of race relations. That they know how to party. So hopefully this leads to some even more progress and reform in the city of Los Angeles and California as a whole. So salute to the queen, Representative Karen Bass. Salute, queen.
21 gun salute.
I mean that. Big salute. Bang. And in this next story, just get a real good expression of Black manhood at its finest. This next story comes to us from blacknews.com, and this has us looking at a man who proposes to adopt his two stepdaughters while getting married to their mom. So in a heartfelt moment at a wedding in Detroit, Michigan, the groom, Dontez Williams, proposed to the two daughters of his bride, asking if he could adopt them. And it was captured in a video that has since gone viral on Instagram. I never knew you really do become a man when you have children, said Williams, who was 33 years old. Having someone to teach, protect, provide for them, discipline them, learn from them, and support them. For all these reasons, you've helped me become a better person. The moment brought tears of joy to the two girls, 9-year-old Abigail and 8-year-old Natalie, as Williams got on his knee to accept his proposal to become their legal father. He said, I know that I'm a father figure to you both. It happened as Williams was getting married to the girl's mother, Michelle Burton, who was 26 years old. The couple who met through the dating website Plenty of Fish has been together for 7 years. Williams has been in the girls' lives since they were 1 and 2 years old. So salute to this king, man, Dontez Williams, for stepping up and stepping out and just showing what Black manhood and fatherhood really looks like out here. I feel like that can get overlooked at times, but we got some real kings out here doing big things. And salute to Dontez Williams.
Big up, Dante. Also, single people, listen to that story. You can meet your soulmate off Plenty of Fish. So that's still an option out there.
Online dating does work. There are some successful relationships that have got their start there. And I think any relationship just goes into like what you're willing to put into it, how much work you're willing to do. Like, that's it. The two people willing to grind. Like, it's a constant job. You're constantly relearning each other. You're constantly adding new things to the pod, taking new things out of it and reestablishing things. But if you're willing to do it, it's a beautiful thing. And I definitely know this past week has definitely made me appreciate my significant other, my spouse, my queen, a lot more. Because this would have been even scarier to go through alone. Shout out to Dontez Williams for stepping up and then taking that fatherhood role too. A lot of men want to date the mom, but don't want to accept the responsibility that comes with what happens when you and the mom now are a relationship and she has children. And, you know, at some point, whether you step up to be their stepfather, whether you step up to do whatever, if you're dealing with her, you're going to have to take a role in that child's life. You're going to have to insert yourself in that way at some point. So love the fact that he did it willingly and just been doing it on his own. And I love kings that are doing this out here because it continues to shatter that stereotype that Black men are not stepping up and doing and being fathers.
And shout out to my stepdad because he did the same thing.
Indeed.
Pretty much. So,
indeed, man. Yeah. Stepdads matter, yo.
And if you own Plenty of Fish, man, if you say hi and they immediately say hi, you just keep talking to make sure that's not a robot, because you don't want to be out here being stepdad to a robot.
Yeah, you will end up sending money over there to China somewhere to some princess because she, you know, and with the
promise of start getting a bunch of robocalls.
Yep. Yep. All of a sudden, your warranty on your car gonna be messed up, and everybody gonna need to give you one. So yeah, mm-hmm. Stay away from that part, but it is an option, but mm-hmm. Leave all options out there. If you're really out there looking for love, it is possible to find in the craziest of places. So yeah. This next story comes to us again from blacknews.com. A children's book author is now crowned the first Black Miss Preteen International. So Morgan E. Taylor popped on the scene when she was 5 years old as the co-author of Daddy's Little Princess, a nonfiction children's book that introduces real princesses of color from around the world. Now the preteen who envisioned being a princess is a queen. On Wednesday, July 28, 2021, Morgan competed as Miss Preteen Tar Heel State for the international title and won. Crowned Miss Preteen International in Kingsport, Tennessee, she is the first Black preteen to achieve this honor. It is such an honor to represent preteens everywhere and encourage young people to read, said Morgan. My goal is to be authentic and to be a positive role model. So as Miss Preteen International, the 12-year-old rising eighth grader now moves from highlighting positive role models to being one herself. So salute to her, man. That is huge. Mm-hmm. Really dope to see a young queen who's already like taking her life by the horns and just kind of like setting her own path and really going for what she know and being an example to other young people. Because at the end of the day, man, you know, as older people, you know, and just developmentally, we know that young people, they at a certain age, especially at that age, they start to get their cues from each other more than us. Like what we say really don't have as much of an effect as to what other kids and what other people their age are into. So shout out to her, man, for just doing that. And big for preteens everywhere, man. Like, I think that's super dope.
We ain't got our own book.
So, yeah, man, that's dope. Really, really, really huge shout out to that little queen.
Cool.
And our final story for this week. Another queen doing big things out here. HBCU student Michaela Harris earns $15,000. And an astronaut scholarship. Michaela Harris, an African-American student from Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland, is one of the winners of the prestigious Astronaut Scholarship Foundation Award. She received $15,000 in scholarship awards, among others. Harris, who was a senior from the School of Computer, Mathematical, and Natural Sciences, applied for the astronaut scholarship with an aim to represent Black women in STEM. There's not enough biomedical research that includes Black people, people of color, and other minority groups, Harris said in a press release. As a member of this university's Student Research Center, Harris said more opportunities opened for her to learn about research and create research projects on her own. She credits the organization for her recent achievement of the astronaut scholarship, where she highlighted her research activities. Excuse me. So salute to Queen Michaela Harris. Doing big things in the area of STEM. We do need more Black queens in that area. And traditionally, Black queens have actually been trailblazers in that area. So
mm-hmm.
We really just need to get back to our original roots and have more queens represented there. So salute to her for trailblazing that. And yeah, man, that's been this week's positive Black news that you can use. Hoping it inspired, hoping it brought you some joy. Hopefully it just showed you, you know, the amazing things we're doing, and share this, you know, give this to somebody else. Let somebody else know good news is out there if we look for it. So, yeah, man. Salute to the kings and queens.
Share some news with us. Let us know some positive black news that we don't know.
Indeed, man. If you got positive black news stories throughout the week, shoot them to us, thepartnerspodcast@gmail.com, or just shoot them to us as a DM on Twitter or Instagram. We love highlighting great shit. It makes us joy. It brings us happiness. So if you got some suited to us, we like it. And more positive shit is people winning thing. Excuse me. And if you've been with us over the past couple of weeks, we've been working toward someone winning something. We've been working toward one lucky MC being crowned as the Podnas official top MC of the 2000s. So this is every MC from the year 2000 until now. Who is the number one guy? Who's that? So we started by just establishing who have been actual MCs, who have not just been great artists, amazing artists, but may have not fit in our criteria. And our criteria that we use was marketability, how well you can earn money, how well your records sell, how well your shows sell, how well your merch sells, how much brand deals you get, how much exposure you're given, how well you're able to market yourself and create a buzz around your product. The second criteria was lyricism. How well you put words together. How high level are your syllable combinations? How high level are your rhyme schemes, flow patterns, and cadences used? How well do you put together your figurative language, your idioms, similes, metaphors, entendres, all of these colloquialisms? How do you use these witty word plays to paint a picture? And then lastly was stage performance, emceeing. How much do you rock a crowd? When someone goes to your show, when someone hears you performing, when you perform a freestyle on Hot 97, how do you get across your message? How are you actually controlling and commanding a room and or crowd? Now, part of lyricism was you could not have had a ghostwriter or a known ghostwriter, at least. So people like Drake, people like that were just not even allowed. Kanye, people like that were just not allowed just because they've had writers. So even though they are amazing artists and could be established for that, for top MCs, they just were disqualified. So once we established our list, we had about 21 people that we put on there. And then we started bracketing. Now, the brackets were kind of done at random. So last week we had the opening round. And basically how we've done this and how we've decided to establish these brackets is the brackets were established. We had our opening round. And what we've done is we debate based on those three criteria and we vote for who we think out of the two people in that particular bracket go on to the next round. What we've also done, though, we have an online bracket that the Pod Squad has been voting on, and we use their votes. Their votes count as two Podnas. So officially, we have five Podnas voting on each round. Now, after the three of us have given our particular choice as far as who we think and why we think this person should move on to the next round, we will then add in the Pod Squad's two votes for their particular choice for that round. And whoever receives at least 3 out of 5 votes will move on to the next round. Now, the opening play-in round, we decided ourselves. From there, the Pod Squad has already cast their votes, and we have their official votes as far as who they think should move on to the next round. So I have those listed here in front of me. And now we look at our bracket from this week. We're now in round 2, and we're about to decide the quarterfinal round for the top MCs of the 2000s. So I'm going to share this. Hopefully I do this right. Y'all know I be struggling sometimes with technology, guys. But give me a second. So yeah, guys, y'all ready for this? Yo, I knew y'all was going to do it with me. I knew I wasn't going to be by myself. I knew somebody was going to come in with the ignorant shit. So let's see if this screen share. Can y'all see my screen right now?
I see your screen.
Beautiful, right now. Beautiful, beautiful. Give me 1 second. Let me make sure the people at home are actually going to be able to see us by making sure I got this up. Bet it. Bet it. Don't sweat it. Your boy Tiz actually did it right, y'all. I actually did it right. All right. All right. So now that y'all can see the brackets here, as y'all can see, the opening rounds, we had Toby Nigwe moving on to face Kendrick Lamar in the in round two, or the first official round, we should say. We have Rick Ross facing Wale. We had Conway the Machine beating Fabulous, so he's now facing off against Pusha T this week. We had Schoolboy Q in an upset against Lupe Fiasco. This one kind of hurt me more than any of them last week. I got outvoted, though. So Schoolboy Q is now going off against Royce the 5'9". Oh, hip-hop head.
Surprisingly.
Y'all going to be with me this week. We then had Killer Mike in a close victory over Childish Gambino. So he's facing off against Joe Budden this week. We got J. Cole versus Beanie Siegel. I'm interested to hear what my other two partners have to say on that one. We got Big Sean facing off against Chance the Rapper. And we have Nicki Minaj, who beat out Meek Mill, which is hilarious to me. Still be facing off this week against 2 Chainz. Hip hop heads, I hope y'all with me this week.
I'm kind of mad that we don't have Lupe versus Royce. I'm kind of mad about that.
Y'all voted for, y'all did this.
I know.
You did this.
I know.
Is this your king? But yeah, so that's where we at with it for this week, fams. We're going to get right off into it. And let's talk about Kendrick Lamar versus Toby Nigwe. All right. I'll start it off first just because I feel like I know where this is going to go. I feel like I know what the pod squad said. I feel like I just got this pretty much. I already know how this is going to be. I'm going to start off by just saying I love Toby Nigwe. He's probably one of my favorite artists out, period. Probably even over Kendrick as far as who I would just like to listen to more. Love his message. Love the fact that he doesn't have to curse to get his rhymes out on lyricism. I would actually personally give this a draw, but I know people are going to look at me like I'm a three-eyed monster. But yeah, I personally gave this a draw on marketability. I definitely gave this to Kendrick. I'm not delusional. Kendrick is fucking box office. He's one of the top 3 hip-hop artists, period. So yeah,
no delusions there.
And then as far as stage show, I actually gave it to Toby. Like, I feel like Kendrick is real good at having people behind him. I feel like as far as like straight freestyle, them just them and a mic, I feel like they both about equal. But when you get onto a stage show and who can, with just them and a microphone, give me more, I feel like Toby can give me more because he can put on a whole dance routine to his shit and all that and add in that aspect as well as the actual just straight MCing and barring. Whereas Kendrick is just going to be the gimme barn while his backup dancers and stuff do crazy shit behind him or like explosions go off or a scene behind him is set. But I don't feel like pound for pound they do. So I had it as a draw. So that's where I'm going to stand. So I'm going to give both of them a vote on behalf of me. And now I open up the floor to the people who are less delusional than me. Maybe it's the meds I'm on. Maybe I'm crazy. But that's what I had. So y'all can go.
Facebook first.
Okay. So I'm going to say Toby definitely rocks the crowd better than Kendrick, in my opinion. I can get behind Toby's performance a little bit more. I feel both of them when they're giving their performance, but it's something about a Toby performance that draws your soul in. You feel me? Like something you feel like you're a part of it. So I'm going to give that category to Toby. Lyrics. I know I can't have it as a tie, but the only reason that I could give it to Kendrick is because of his marketability. So his lyrics I heard more and touch more people as far as quantity, but as far as lyrical quality to me, I'm going to say Toby, because once again, he does have that ability to display that message in depth and as hood as he want to be without cursing. And to me personally, that takes a different type of pen. Anybody can throw something up with a curse word in it and damn right, I feel that. But to artistically articulate a point without having to use any vulgar words, but you can still paint that picture with that same emotion as you did use them, that's a different level to me. So I give it a Toby on lyrics. So, I mean, out of the three categories, I'm going with Toby, 2 out of 3.
All right.
Pat?
All right. So I really can't. The way I listen to music now, I really feel like this is unfair on my end as far on Toby's side, because I'll wait for the song to hit me. Like, I'm waiting for the Toby song to actually hit me. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
Or whatever. And it's just so much music out there that I haven't been able to keep up with Toby. I usually go to my normal mainstays and go around it, because I just don't have time to like listen to music like I used to, right, or whatever. So like on my end, I'm probably going to just go ahead and put it for like Kendrick, because just off of the ignorance that I have for Toby, whatever. Like, just what I've listened to before, I liked it and I respect it when I just listen to it bar for bar, I listen to what he says or whatever. But I feel like I only liked it because somebody told me about it that I'm cool with. So I'm waiting.
You don't have that organic bond to anything.
Yeah, I haven't had that organic bond yet. And I don't want to just say I like Toby because everybody else liked Toby. I feel like that's disrespectful to Toby.
That's fair.
So that's why I'm like one-sided on Kendrick or whatever. So really, I haven't. Well, I have seen Toby perform or whatever. I just haven't seen him as much as I've seen Kendrick or whatever. So that's why I'm like really one-sided on the Kendrick thing or whatever. And I mean, it's still artists like Toby that I really haven't got into, that everybody's telling me I should get into yet or whatever. But it's just, I haven't gotten into that phase yet. That's all. Just give me some time. I was the same way with Drake. I was the first person to tell people about Drake. I was the same way about Pusha T, a couple of other rappers, Lil Wayne. Right. I had to grow into him or whatever. So I feel like it's one of those things that I just got to wait to grow into Toby music, pretty much.
So your official vote is?
It's Kendrick. It's Kendrick.
No problem. Because, yeah, this is where the Pod Squad definitely felt you. Yeah, it was overwhelming. It's Kendrick. So Kendrick definitely won that round. That's why I wanted to go first. Just so Toby, you heard me. Me and Face had your back there, brother. We was rooting for you. We just got outvoted by a lot. In a lot, as Sue Surf would say. We got outvoted in a lot. So, the next round here. Rick Ross versus Wale. Label mates become enemies. Anybody want to take the floor first on this
one? I'll go.
Go then, my brother.
All right. So, straight out lyrically, Wale. I'm going to just go straight up like that.
Okay.
But his marketability and where it should be at, because of his lyrical ability, which sounds crazy. Because you would think if you are a good lyricist, you would sell more records. But I don't know if it's the label push behind him or what it is, but marketability, he ain't there. Hands down, Rick Ross has the marketability. Regardless what scandal it's been or what, Ross's name out there somewhere, involved in something, he definitely has the marketability, hands down. Not to say while he does not have marketability, he does have that damn lyrical ability, though. Now, when it comes to stage performance, I really don't know. About equal to me. Energy put into the performance, about equal. the visual effect. Of course, you're going to get more with Ross because he's a big boss on the label. So you're going to get more of a visual effect, more of that Rick Ross swag on the, on his performance. On Wale, you got more of that, that DMV style. So I don't really know. It's a toss-up on performance and giving it to the crowd. It's really a toss-up on that one with me. Just because I fuck with Wale a little bit better, I'm going to go with Wale. So that's my vote.
Okay. So Wale and on the board.
Let me just say this. Rick Ross is one of my favorite rappers. But
I did not know that. The shit I be learning about my best friends on this podcast.
I just like the slow flow. Give them a slow flow rap. What slow flow rap like?
I can see that.
But in this category, I'm going to go with Wale.
Right on.
So that's my vote.
Pat?
Your vote? Marketing, I feel like, goes with Rick Ross because Rick Ross has a whole fucking company pretty much. So yeah, that kind of goes with him. Lyricism, I'm gonna go with Wale, even though I like Rick Ross more. Like, Rick Ross is very good at like setting the tone, the setting, giving you like the movie feel with a song or whatever, but he don't have like that I'm about to just go the fuck in, you know what I'm saying? I could always go to him for some, like, don't get me wrong, he got some lines and bars or whatever when he say, and he be saying some real shit from time to time or whatever, but I don't go to Rick Ross to like go in on a freestyle as much as I can go in with Wale. Now with Wale, his music to me doesn't connect with me or whatever. Like, I feel like a lot of times, I don't know, and there's just something about him just seemed like it's like extra. And then like his girl songs and stuff like that, it just seemed like, yeah, you're trying to get a bag with this. But at the same time, like every time I hear him on a feature, he goes the fuck in on a feature. Like, I love listening to Wale on features than I do on his actual music, for real, to tell you the truth. Stage performance. I'll put it this way. I want to give this round to Rick Ross because I like Rick Ross music better. But but I just feel like Wale would give me a whole lot more energy on stage just because his background is DMV, that's DC music. DC music is nothing but high energy music or whatever. Yeah.
I can understand.
I was really thinking I was going to give this to Rick Ross, but one out of two, I'm giving it to Wale, man. Wow.
Go Wale.
Yeah. And this is from a person that don't really listen to Wale. I listen to Rick Ross more than I listen to Wale.
Right.
So it's throwing me off, but hey.
Now I don't know if I should do this because I have the list of who the pod squad actually picked, so I know which way this is going to go already.
I think I do too.
So I don't know if I should put myself on the high seat as the tiebreaker or not. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it and then let y'all see what the tie would have been. Oh, fuck it. The pod squad picked Rosé.
Of course.
I'll be the tiebreaker. This was tough for me because I like these rappers for all of the reasons that you both outlined them. Like, Rick Ross speaks to a very specific time in my life that I still kind of have emotions around and like thoughts around. So like, there's a resonance there with him that's like very deep to me. Like, there's certain songs like that. Anything off the Port of Miami album? Yep.
Every day I'm hustling.
That talks
every
to me.
Every day I'm hustling.
For real. So, like, it was tough because also Wale, he has that DMV vibe. He gives you that go-go feel. And his lyrics relate to me on a level of, like, just being an everyday guy, hollering at girls, like, the struggle of being in relationships, the kind of being awkward at times, being an introvert. Like, he speaks to a lot of things that are also just very much me. But I actually gave the lyricism to Rosé. I feel like Ross can talk about everything that Wale can talk about, but Wale can't talk about everything Ross can talk about. And I think that versatility is where I draw the line. Lyrically, they have very different styles. But as far as bar for bar, like the way they use words is different. I think that Wale is more into entendres and metaphors, whereas Rosé is more on into similes and witty wordplay, like playing off of clever life lesson lines or like, you know, cliches that everybody knows, but he finds a clever way to kind of flip it. I feel like that's more his lane, but I feel like they're both equal as far as being proficient at it. But Ross, man, he's just versatile, man. Like he has more places he can go as far as his lyrical content than Wale can and still be believable as an MC. So lyrically, I'm gonna go Rosé. Stage performance, I actually got Wale just because I love go-go music and the fact that he uses a lot of live instrumentation and often gets into go-go pockets and puts that those type of beats to a lot of his songs on his albums that normally would not have those beats. I rock with shit like that because, you know, I'm from Virginia and a big part of my party scene, especially in college, was go-go music. So I love that. So I gave that to Wale. And then as far as marketability, it's not even close. Wale's awkwardness is the way he presents socially, his lack of tact at times socially. Yeah, and the fact that he doesn't have the budget that Rosé has. Rosé gets it, so I had to give it to Rosé.
And he don't have the budget to say the shit that he be saying and get away with it like Rosé do.
Indeed. So Rosé moves on. There you go. For this next one, Conway the Machine versus Pusha T. Fight! I'll start this all, man. I'm from Virginia and ain't shit to do but cook. I'm giving the lyricism to Pusha. Again, it goes down to versatility to me. Conway the Machine to me is like your typical street rapper, but I cannot see him rapping to me about just regular everyday life shit and me it having the same resonance because he's established himself too much into one identity lyrically. So, I'm going to go with Pusha T lyrically just because as far as like bar for bar, I feel like they have equal talent, but the longevity, the versatility, and the fact that I've seen more from Pusha T lyrically just gives it to him for me. Marketability, I'm definitely going to say Pusha T. He has more big name pushes, and he has the budget being the president of a label. He has the budget in his fingertips to market himself however he wants to, whenever he feels. His album sales have definitely always been pretty decent. He's always going at least gold, usually. That's usually his standard. And as far as battling goes, you know what I'm saying, which is one of those great lyrical contests, I feel like he's more battle tested. He's actually had to go at greats. He's had to go at one of the greatest artists of the 2000s in Drake. He's had to go at one of the greatest rappers of any era, Lil Wayne. You know what I mean? So, like, when you look at those contests and he's actually held his own in both, I got to give it to Pusha T lyrically and marketability-wise. He just has a bigger budget. He's known by more people. Like, he's been around longer, so he just has that longevity factor, whereas he's had longer time to get international acclaim. And I think that a lot of these contests, especially now that we're getting into the elite of the elites, it's going to come down to, like, bigger than our small U.S. bubble. It's going to come down to, like, if I go to Brazil, what's the likelihood of a random kid there knowing who you are? Even if they may not know your song for song, they know who you are. Who's more likely to have that happen? And I feel like Pusha T is there. So marketability, I'm going with Pusha. So I'm already up 2-1 on Pusha. I ain't going to even go into the stage show because I don't really know a lot about Conway's stage show. But since I'm up Pusha already 2-1, I'll just stop there. My vote, Pusha T.
Well, I'll take this. Grinding. I'm a Virginia head. I'm kind of biased. That's all that. That's all I'm saying. I'm being honest. It's just like with my Barack Obama vote. I was biased. He was black. I was black. I'm gonna tell you the truth. I'm kind of biased. If you put Pusha up against anybody else that ain't on my top tier, just top tier, I'm gonna go with him just because I'm biased with the whole thing. But lyrically, I'm gonna give it to him because he's once again tried and tested, been there and back. I can do the group thing. I can do the solo thing. Then I can come in, I can do a collaboration thing as well. Then I can also do a solo thing. I'm seeing Pusha on a different level, you feel me? Like, and he's not reached his peak yet. And look how long he's been out. Lyrically, he's still maturing. And you have to be a certain caliber to be where you can still be great and still mature as well, and still learn and still sharpen your tools. And I see that in him. Because even though he comes out sporadically, when he does come out, it ain't the same type of shit. Even he gives you something different. He gives you more work, but he gives you something different. He's going to make you like, damn, Pusha, you did the geek. Stage show, once again, DMV. I'm from VA. I go with the DMV feel more than other mother pleasant places. I take it to your explanation about Ross over Wale. Conway can do everything Pusha do. I mean, I'm sorry. Other way around. You feel me? You know what I'm trying to fucking say.
Yeah.
Pusha is greater and can do more. He's more versatile. He got more tricks up his sleeve.
Ain't none of us going to be lyricists of the night tonight.
Hands down, I mean, I'm not even gonna go to all three categories. I'm gonna just say Pusha T, man. He got my vote 3-30. He just 30 Conway to me. When you announced who was going against each other, I already had it last week when you said, I know who I'm voting for. Shit, they don't even know think about it. I mean, call me back, tell me what the fuck you want to, but it is what it is.
Yo, I'm playing my shit. Gonna light up on face ass when they hear that. They gonna be like, how could you even take this seriously when one of them says it?
At least I'm honest about my shit. You feel me? I could have hid it and be like, you know what? No, I'm gonna just go this and lie. No, I'm gonna push it to your hands down because I'm VA bound. But at the end of the day, look at them lyric, you're gonna give it to Pusha. Look at marketability. You're going to give it to Pusha. He got the tag team flow once again. Let the clips come out with an album. Let them get back together and put the album out. I guarantee.
That will shake the building.
It's going to shake the fucking building. But then again, let Pusha put an album out by himself. And it's still going to do what? Shake the damn building. Marketability out of here. Shows. Now, I'm going to give it to Pusha on giving it to the crowd on his show, his showmanship, too, because, once again, once you've been in a tandem, your chemistry and your flow and how you deal with the crowd is totally different because you're bouncing off somebody else. Then you take that skill set and apply it totally on yourself. You know how to control the crowd even more because that you have to balance your energy on somebody else. And that's all your energy controlling the crowd. You know what I mean? So I'm going to get to Pusha, too. So once again, Pusha, hands down, 30.
Push, yeah.
All right, so I guess it goes down to me.
Fight for your boy, Pat. Fight for your boy.
All right, so once again, yes, I am from Virginia. I am from the exact area code that Pusha T is from. I have seen Pusha T in his music career since the beginning. Since they've been out here with The Funeral, that first song or whatever, that came out when I was in high school. I've been out there, actually helped promote some of his stuff out here, like especially the, I still got that first mixtape, You Got It For Cheap, they had out here or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So in most cases, I'm going to have a Virginia bias, but at the same time, just like with other artists, shoot, ironically, just like Lil Wayne, I grew into liking Pusha. At first, I was looking at him, ironically, just like y'all looking at Conway, he's just another street rapper that talks about drug dealing.
Boy, Pat is pretty a tough much critic, boy.
Pretty much, especially when it comes to this rap stuff. So, let me get right down to it. Marketability. I'm giving it to Pusha. I mean, Conway's my boy, but Pusha has been on songs with Justin Timberlake. His main producer is Pharrell. There's no, like, that. I would be stupid to say anybody, Conway, in this situation, because Pusha T in his career, just in general, Pharrell, he runs Kanye's freaking record label and everything. Like, he's gotten some achievements over the years. He's actually pushed the culture in certain ways with style and clothing and everything with the bait and everything. Like, he got some imprint on hip hop. So marketability, I'm giving it a push. Lyricism. I'm gonna wait. All right. I'm gonna go right into it. Lyricism. Yes, Pusha has been around for a while. I give him that. But I feel like he's just now gotten to that level where when I hear something, I'm like, oh shoot, let me run that back. Wow. I've been listening to Conway and the Machine since they came out like about 5 years ago, underground, like, was it 2014, 2000? I'm like one of the first people that actually probably even heard about them or whatever. These men, Conway on his own come out with an album, will come out with a project three times a year, at least. Three times a year. And that's six, at least. I mean, I would say two of them probably have like maybe seven at the least tracks up there. Then he has one major, and then one of those three are one major project.
So two albums a year, basically.
Two albums a year, one EP. So three projects, at least three projects a year. And that's not including group projects, pretty much. And they have been doing this for the past, consecutively, past 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. I have not heard a rhyme where I made.
Are you forgetting the re-up game?
I'm not. I'm
and
saying.
And that run that they went on when it was a mixtape every other damn week.
I'm like I said, I was there with that mixtape era where it says when it was I got it for cheap, pretty much. I'm just saying.
What's your lyricism argument for Conway? I feel like you're trying to make an argument for Conway here. Go ahead, make it. I want to hear this.
His bars hit harder, man.
In what his way?
His bars hit harder.
What specifically, technically, from a technical aspect, does he do better than Pusha T?
Specifically?
Yeah.
I would say he comes out with lines and bars way more on each verse than I can from a push of.
So
verse.
You're going from a quantity aspect. He has
a lot of bars. Yeah.
I'm going for quality.
Now, as far as like musically or whatever, I will give it a push of T. This, that, and a third. But as far as like, I'm going as far as bar for bar lyricism, I'm going to give it to Conway. Because I just feel like he just now got into it. And as far as the battle aspect to it, yes, he battled Drake. We can't even include Drake in this conversation, though. All right. So let's talk about somebody like Lil Wayne or whatever. But at the same time, it's like Lil Wayne couldn't even, like, under the rules of Birdman, he couldn't even really respond back in that situation. So, yeah, and then when I look at Conway or whatever, I don't think it's like many rappers that would want to battle him, period. So I'm going to defend him on that. Now, as far as stage performance, I'm going to give it the push. Just because he's been on too many stages. He's been on way too many stages of all sorts, of all varieties or whatever. When we talk about versatility, I'm going to give it on the stage performance side and marketability aside or whatever. Stage performance, I'm giving it to Pusha T, whatever.
Okay.
So, yeah. So in this round, probably is Pusha T. pretty much.
But, she said all that to say that. Boy, come on home to Virginia. Because the Pod Squad agree with you.
I'm Virginian.
So it's a
5-0
victory. First 5-0 of the night.
I can't go say push. Too much because I know too many people that's connected with Pusha.
If they heard this, it's like, how are you going to vote against Pusha? Or whatever. But I feel like Pusha would even say, would even put up a case for Conway.
I doubt it. Have you heard a Pusha interview? He don't seem like the most...
No,
I'm
saying
this. Arrogance and
I ain't talking about against him. I'm talking about as far as bars. Like yeah. I can,
We're
I think
saying
I'm
not Conway
even
ain't elite with the bars. We just saying against Pusha.
Yeah,
he ain't fucking
nah.
I'm just saying I'm kind of hip hop
and you start speaking up at some point. You had me lost for a second there, but
it's still hip-hop,
I
man.
Actually come don't even know how we got to this next bracket here. We got Schoolboy Q versus Royce 5'9". Let me go first. Let me just speak my speech. Lyricism, it ain't even close. All right, we're not about to sit here and play around with Royce 5'9". Name ain't even about to do his name like that. I don't care what happened with him and Lupe or him and Mickey. Royce is what he is. He's one of the reasons Eminem is so great from sparring with him. Like, so let's just clear that up. Royce is top tier. He's one of the, I wouldn't put him in the God tier, but he's like in that tier right below it. Like he's neck.
He's getting his way up there.
Like he can fight with a Titan. He ain't quite a Titan, but he a guy. He can reach up and punch one off. You know, they feel his effects. So I'm going to definitely say lyricism Royce. Stage presence, I'm going to give the Schoolboy. MCing ability, like the ability to rock a show, I feel like Schoolboy, he be having them crowds lit. So it goes down to marketability.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as this to me. That Shady Bag, different champ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel, I'm going to say it like this. In the past year, whose name have you heard of more? I'm going to say Royce.
Mm-hmm.
His album sales decent. He's had a gold album or two here and there, you know. He's definitely done his thing with Slaughterhouse. But he has more albums to sell than Schoolboy. As far as touring, I think they're pretty neck and neck as far as where they hit. They both have their own specific festival circuit that they hit. They also have their own pretty decent. They're about the same size crowd as far as the venues that they pack outside of festivals. And I think, I honestly don't know internationally. I feel like it depends on the country or something. I don't even know internationally. So I feel like I'll just put it as a watch there. But marketability, that Shady Bag is different. It's different. Mm-hmm. It's different. So I would just go Schoolboy Q there. I mean, Royce the 5'9 there. So I went Royce. I went Royce. It wasn't like a deep conversation for me. It was like, oh yeah, 2 out of 3, Royce. Yeah, easy. Yeah. Either one of you could take the floor now.
I'll let you go, Pat.
All right. It's about the same. Lyricism, of course, is Royce. Been listening to Royce since high school or whatever. But I've been listening to Schoolboy Q since it came out. He's been one of my, like, out of the newer rappers or whatever, he's been one of my favorites, pretty much, or whatever. But lyricism, Royce. Stage performance, I'm going to give it to Schoolboy, but marketing is definitely Royce. They damn near got the same company as the marketing, but he's Eminem's homeboy.
It's different.
Yeah. Like, Schoolboy is Kendrick's homeboy.
It's different.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying Kendrick is not. I listen to more Kendrick. Now, mind you, I was an Eminem fan when he first came out. I listen to more Kendrick now. I feel like it's more relatable than I do Eminem. But I remember what Eminem did. And I remember who was there along the way. Pretty much. And yeah. Yeah, so I'm giving it to Royce. Plus, Royce got Premier as one of his favorite, as one of his main producers. Like, that's a
The lyrics that those beats inspire are always very epic.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Face Mob,
two albums.
Yeah. Lyrics, of course, Royce. Of course. Of course. Hands down, Royce. He's a lyrical demigod, as I said before. Marketability. Don't know. International scale. Don't know. National scale. I don't know either. Because you got the wide variety of like both people. So I'm going to skip that for right now and go to stage performance.
Okay.
Once again, Schoolboy rocks the crowd, man. Gets them going. Royce, I feel like his core fans would be more into it, but on a more wide scale, no. So I'm going to say Schoolboy gets it to his fans a little bit more, his performance and ability to rock the crowd and command the crowd. So we go back to that marketability, man, because right now it's 1-1. I don't know. Like you say, that Shady Bag is a little different. But once again, it's the Shady Bag, and we're looking at the marketability of the individual themselves. If he didn't have the backing of Shady, what would be his true marketability? And if there is no Kendrick Lamar, what's the true marketability of Schoolboy Q? If we look at it just like that, I'm gonna have to go Schoolboy, because when you think Royce, you think Shady. When you think Schoolboy, you think Schoolboy. You don't automatically think Kendrick. Separate entities. So I'm gonna go marketability for Schoolboy. So 2-1 Schoolboy for me, but I know most of he didn't win.
Well, the Pod Squad definitely did vote against you, but it was I think it was like 2-1. So Pod Squad takes it over the top. It's 4-1 Royce. Royce moves on. Royce will be facing Pusha T next week. Next week is going to be interesting. Next week, it's going to be interesting. But so we got the first half of that bracket done. All right, let's get through these ones, guys.
I was going to say, once again, people, we're not just talking about, because I know there's going to be a lot of extra hip hop heads who want to be thinking, we're not just talking about lyricism or whatever. We're not just talking about lyricism.
Total.
It's just one part of it. Just one part of it. Now, if it was just lyricism, I think these brackets would be a lot different.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
I just want to put that out.
It might have even been some other people that would have been added, that I would have added to this list, that our initial list that would have been considered, that I did not, just because I knew it was all three facets.
And I was going to say honorable mentions that I realized after a while, after hearing some music. J-Rock and Tyler, the Creator. I heard Tyler, the Creator, go in on this song on West Side Gun, and I'm like, oh, shit, I have not heard you do this in a while.
I'm going to just throw this up there. I just Googled it while we was on the phone. Net worth, Royce da5'9", net worth $3 million. Schoolboy Q work, net worth $4 million.
Okay. Got it.
I ain't heard shit about Schoolboy Q all year. I heard about Royce da5'9" last month.
That's because they're waiting for Kendrick. They're waiting for Kendrick and SZA. Okay.
But I'm just going to put it there. But in our next round, we got Joe Budden versus Killer Mike. I'm going to just go ahead and throw mine out there. I picked Joe Budden. I feel like lyrically, they're close, but Joe Budden has a wider place that he can go. And I honestly just think Joe Budden's a better lyricist overall. Stage presence, I gave it to Killer Mike. I feel like his presence is just, it's like he has one of the presence, like that even if he ain't rapping, he just walk into a room and he commands the energy toward him. Mm-hmm. So like,
and he's that's one of those. MC.
Right. So he definitely takes it there. And then marketability, Joe Budden is Joe Budden. Like, Joe Budden is an international name. People know him, whether you know his song or not, you know him. Pump It Up is an international, like they use it to, it's a jock jam. When you reach them type of levels with a song, whether your albums are as famous or not, your marketability is through the roof. So Joe Budden, I gave it to Joe Budden 2-1, easy money.
say I'll go quick. I fucking hate Joe Budden, man. Just wanted to say that first. I fucking hate Joe Budden. But lyrically, he got him. I hate to say it, but lyrically, he got him. But hands down, Killer Mike stomps him on the stage. The delivery, the command of the stage, the command of the people. Yeah, it's all Killer Mike, man. It's all Killer Mike. So it all boils down to the fucking marketability. God damn if I ain't have to give it to Joe. Pump the fuck up himself.
Pump it up. Just please.
Did not want to, but with the category, gotta be real, gotta be true. No bias there. Because once again, I fucking hate Joe Budden. But lyrically and marketability, he outshines Killer Mike. So I guess my vote's for fucking Joe Budden.
Pow!
Right. Man, this is funny. Face is funny as fuck. Or whatever. Mind you now, people, this is all bias. So my personal opinion or whatever is actually stricken to the side on this thing or whatever. All right. Lyricism, Joe Budden, just because he has a lot more content. And I feel like he actually has a lot of, I think he actually sparked a lot of rappers on the low, expressing themselves about life situations and emotions on the low or whatever. Just, he was like one of those first rappers in an age of drug rappers to actually talk about, hey, this is how I feel about this situation and I'm going through this. So, yeah. At the same time, while Kanye is saying it, stage presence, Killer Mike. Because it's fucking Killer Mike. His voice alone, as soon as he says something, it's over with. You're going to listen to him. Joe Budden has the fabulous syndrome where even if he's probably saying it with expression or whatever, it still has that I'm cocky and everything I'm going to say is going to sound hard. So you're going to like my shit anyway type voice to it, pretty much. So that leads down to marketability, and I feel sorry for Killer, but it's Joe Budden. Joe Budden it literally started half of the social media, like the social media behavior that we have out here, good and bad. Like he's one of the first people to just put his regular life on the internet.
He gave whatever. Vlad TV a start
by mistake. Yeah. He hates Vlad. Yeah. With a passion, and I think that has to do with him and Ransom and that past previous thing from what I've seen. But
man, like, I fucking hate you.
Hey, like it's I ain't love or hate or bad. He's a bit of innovator. He's a bit of an innovator, and it's certain things, man. He get on my nerves about a certain things, but at the same time, like
I hate the nigga's beard.
Just that you just don't like that nigga because you don't like that nigga.
So who was your pick?
Joe Budden.
I hate her. Okay. Mixed with his mustache.
And the Pod Squad picked him as well. So that's the first, the second 5-0 victory we've had tonight. Three left. We get to J. Cole versus Beanie Siegel. Now this is tough because they kind of were in two different eras of the 2000s. Beanie just squeaked in as a 2000s rapper just because his album was released at the very top of the year 2000. So he kind of ran the early 2000s, whereas J. Cole has kind of come in during the 2010s and kind of been a major fixture there. So yeah, it's kind of era against era within the 2000s. I'm going to say lyrically, say J. Cole. J. Cole has, Mac is my guy. Don't get me wrong. There was a time when Beanie Mac could do no wrong, but even in Beans' own crew, State Property, he wasn't my favorite. PD Crack was. So, like, if you weren't even my favorite in your own crew lyrically, it's kind of hard for me to put you over a dude that is my top dude in his crew. Also, like, at no point when Beans was out did I ever put him as, like, one of the top rappers out at that time. J. Cole, I would put up there. Like, if somebody came to me with an argument against Jay-Z and said J. Cole, I would have that conversation with him viably. I'm not having that conversation with you about J and B. Just not. So like, I think lyrically J. Cole wins. Stage presence, I give it to Beans. His believability is just ridiculous. He does an interview and I'm like enthralled. Like, I just want to hear him say more. Like, so I feel like that aura just goes a long way with his stage presence. And I've seen his concerts, man. It's a different vibe to see that many people singing his verse from Even Though What We Do Is Wrong. But that, like,
they still play it to
this different day. It's different. So I gave that to Beanie. And then marketability during their times, this is where it gets tough. But I feel like during their times, J. Cole's marketability is crazier off the fact that he has social media as a push. Beans was completely relying on Rockefeller to push him. But he, to my knowledge, doesn't have a certified platinum album while he was actually active rapping. J. Cole does, and he did it without even having a commercial for the shit. Like, literally, motherfuckers went to sleep and woke up, and the album was here, and that shit went everywhere. Mm-hmm. All off the fact of social media and him building that buzz and him building that connection with his fans is, like, really organic. So I feel like he has an advantage. But advantage or not, he's bigger. Like, yeah. So J. Cole wins to me 2-1. I had J. Cole.
Well, J. Cole, and Beanie Siegel. Tough match. Early 2000s, late 2000s. Like you said, two different generations, two different type of styles, but you still got to have a conversation. So I'm going to start with stage flow, stage presence, ability to control the crowd, get your message out. I'm going to give that one to Beans, but I attribute that to his era as well. You had to have some type of stage presence. You had to sell it. You had to bring that authenticity back then. When now you can rely more on technology and other things and background and a lot more other elements. So just on the authenticity and pure energy that Beans brought and the fans fed off that. And like I said, to this day, when you rap that Beans verse, you gonna rap that with that energy. You feel me? So I'm gonna get at the Beans. Marketability. I'm gonna say J. Cole. His reach is a lot wider in his prime and Beans' prime. Beans' reach was attributed to the clique he was attached to. Rather was Rockefeller or State, probably he was always seen with a clique. So him being known on a wide scale, sure, you know Bean, but you know all State property too. I don't even know the name of J. Cole's crew, or if he even has one, but I know about J. Cole himself. You feel me? So that wide reach he has, like him himself, can touch more ears and more households than Beans could in his prime. So that's that. Now, lyrically, that's a tough conversation. They both got different ways to get their message out artistically, and they can both articulate on a different level. In a group setting, we've seen what Beans can do on features and duets and all that other shit. We've also seen what J. Cole can do on his features, his solo, and with a group as well. On standalone, I'm going to give it to J. Cole. Feature-wise, I give it to Beans, because when Beans on the feature, he just comes differently. His lyrical prowess on the feature is a little bit different than when he comes by himself. But then you got to look at the body of work. How many features did you have to match up to a solo career, like, you know, standing on his own? So lyrically, with what he can do, where he's at in his career, and the amount of time he still has to mature, I'm going to give it to J. Cole, because what he's done so far lyrically is outstanding, and he's not been in the game for so long. At the same amount of time Beans have been in the game, I don't think he had reached that lyrical prowess. So I'm going to give it to J. Cole 2-1.
Okay. Pat?
All right. I'm giving it to Cole. y'all already really explained the reasons why, but I want to be clear or whatever. Beans is the guy that got one over on Jadakiss.
This is true. Not,
I feel like Beans supposed to be in the category in the same school as with Jadakiss or whatever, but because of the stipulations that we have, he's in the 2000s or whatever.
Got a man caught like, outside of his time.
Yeah, basically. I think he was, and I think that's generally what happened with his career. He's a man caught outside of his time. Like, I feel like lyrically, Beanie Siegel is up there with anybody, but where he may lack at or fall short at, J. Cole will pick up at, pretty much. As far as like with Beans, with his lifestyle, it ain't but so much he's going, as far as the realm of music, he's going to go. Like, he don't get me wrong, he has music that reach out to everybody. I can feel it in the air and stuff like that. But at the same time, if you're a regular person, you're not going to feel the drug dealer music, but so much, unless you're me, because I'm weird and I grew up on just hardcore rap anyway, so I listen to all kinds of rap. But I just feel like Beans in his career fell short just off of his personality, and J. Cole is the result of what happens when Jay has a artist and what he could do to that artist to his best extent or whatever. Like J. Cole has albums by himself that are platinum. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got his own fan base. He's not trying to portray an image or whatever. And the people that would normally you consider like gangster rappers or street rappers, they all give him respect. Like, they all, you know what I'm saying? Like, all around, from the nerd, all genres, to the people that like nerd rap, to the people that just like street rap, like, to the people that like emotional life situations or whatever. He covers all that. So I give it to J. Cole. Beanie Siegel, I will say, as far as stage presence, yeah, I agree with y'all with that. Like, as far as stage presence, but at the same time, J. Cole's stage show is getting better and better, pretty much. But that's all I gotta say. J. Cole.
Indeed. And my brother, my third 5-0 winner of the night.
And my brother voted for J. Cole too.
Ah, thank you for voting there, brother.
That's his favorite rapper, so
I'm not mad at him. Well, he's gonna have to show up for him again next week because he's gonna need help. Because what's he facing? Yeah, next week he's going against Joe Budden. So the J against the J. That ought to be a good one.
Yeah.
Some different angles to take as far as at least the breakdowns. But in our second to the last matchup of the night, we got Big Sean versus Chance the Rapper. Pat, you want to go first here?
I'm going with Big Sean.
Okay.
I'm going with Big Sean.
That was confident.
I'm going with Big Sean. I get really – all right. Marketability. I'm going to – marketability – I feel like Chance may have him a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? But lyrically, I pick Big Sean. And as far as stage performance, I pick Big Sean. I'm at a bias mostly because Chance the Rapper voice kind of gets on my nerves sometimes, just in general. But at the same time, I've heard him say, he got this line on this song with Action Bronson or whatever, like when he was going in. I actually put it on the thing, but Chance the Rapper music annoys me a little bit more. It's way too happy. It's just way too fucking happy, man. Like, he's a great lyricist. And I know, you know, for some people he makes great music, man, but it's not for me, man. It's too happy. I'm going for Big Sean. Big Sean gives me everything.
He checks the boxes for you.
Yeah, more than
understood. Face?
I don't like neither one of these niggas' music.
Well, okay.
Be honest with you. I mean, I don't really fuck with Chance the Rapper at all, but marketability, that's Mr. Doritos. So, yeah.
He has the hat.
He's very marketable. He got that show on Netflix with T.I. and Cardi B. He got the commercial with the boy band. So, I mean, his crossover ability is very, very high. So that's that. He getting money, do his charitable thing, but that's not in the qualification. His marketability, yeah, chance. Basically, I'll come back to that because, once again, I don't like no one of these motherfuckers. Stage presence, shit, it's a toss-up between the two because they both bring energy to their stage presence with their type of music. Different areas, but flows are, I'm not going to say similar, but similarly unique, I'll say that. I'll give it a chance. I'll give it to Big Sean on stage presence. Command of the flow, command of the crowd, ability to deliver that message there. Lyrically, really don't listen to you on these motherfuckers. I've heard more Big Sean music that I really can't listen. Chance the Rapper that long, his voice, it's highly annoying.
I told you.
That's just my opinion. I just
in mine too.
I really can't say I've ever heard Chance say anything memorable for me, but I've heard Big Sean say a few things more memorable. I can't remember them now, but if I heard the song, I could sing along with it. Where a Chance the Rapper song, I'm not even singing along with it. I'm just got it on because it's on. So I'm going to go Big Sean.
Yep.
2-1.
I bet you remember this. I don't fuck with you. That Big Sean right. song.
Damn right.
He was snapping on that song. He was mad.
I'll be the outnumbered party here. I picked Chance the Rapper. So, like, lyrically, he said more mind-blowing things to me, or more things that I just thought were like, oh, fuck, that was amazing. He gives me the type of bars that I like, which are those that are right, the low-hanging fruit, but nobody sees the branch.
Yeah, he's good at that.
My daughter looked just like Sia. You can't see her. You know, shit like that. Just, I love shit like that, you know. Treat your friend just like Pam. Treat your homie just like Pam. I mean, I fuck with your friends, but damn, Gina, like, I don't know. I like shit like that. It's my type of shit. I feel like he's more versatile because he hasn't boxed himself into any one place, so he could talk about drug use the same way he could talk about being a Christian, the same way he could talk about having some dreadhead niggas in your lobby. Marketability, it ain't even close. Chance is everywhere. Chance is up there with like the Drakes and people like that of the world as far as marketability. And then stage presence. I prefer a stage show of Chance the Rapper as far as his type of energy and the way he's interacting with the crowd. I like the way he gives you different nuances from where he'll slow it down, kind of give you one of those more introspective songs like the joint he got with Daniel Caesar. And then he'll bring it back up with a "you don't want no problems." And then he'll bring it back to a religious place with his verse from "Ultra Like Me." Like, he has more places he can go and more range in his stage show that he gives you. So yeah, it was easy for me. Chance three, all three criteria, Chance three. But I was outnumbered by you guys and the Pod Squad because they picked Big Sean as well. So 4-1, fucking Big Sean.
I would say if Chance's voice was so annoying, I would probably like him a lot more because I've heard him go in.
It's all just, right, people. It's all good because we're about to get to the same thing for me right now. Nicki Minaj versus 2 Chainz, the last of the second round. This places our last person in the quarterfinal round, which is going to be held next week. That'll be voted on all of this coming week between today, Tuesday, and next Tuesday. So,
let me go first.
Yeah.
Get this shit out the way. Nicki Minaj, 2 Chainz, man. Lyrically, I'm going 2 Chainz. They both have stood the test of time. They both stood up against people that's only God tier and held their own. But 2 Chainz, to me, is just an innovator of the wordplay. Like, God damn it, shit he says, just like, what did you just say that? What? So I'm going to give it to him. Marketability. Them damn Barbs with 2 Chainz, man. With 2 Chainz. They're both known internationally. But 2 Chainz' marketability takes him to other places that Nicki Minaj's attitude won't allow her to go. 2 Chainz has different TV shows. You feel me? Like the world's most expensive shit. That shit he does. The marketability gets him in a different arena. Sure, her fame could get her in a different arena. But his attitude and his marketability open up other doors for 2 Chainz that I don't think Nicki Minaj can open. So marketability, I'm going to give it 2 Chainz. Stage performance, sure, who doesn't like seeing that woman shake her ass? But I'm not at a rap show just to see that. You feel me? Like, I'm there for the full beyond. It ain't all about just shaking your ass. If you're just looking at that, any female rapper would have a better stage performance coming in the crowd. It's just about that. But it's not just about your body. It's not just about your dance moves. It's about the whole show. And I'm going to give it to 2 Chainz for the whole show because I believe he brings something different with his show. I mean, just his personality, once again, it exudes out of him with his show. So I feel like the crowd feels that more. I'm going to go to 2 Chainz. I believe he just dirtied Nicki Minaj.
All right. I'll go next. This was easy for me. Outside of marketability was the only close one for me. Stage show, 2 Chainz, hands down. He'll give you acapella moments. He'll dance. He'll crowd surf. He'll give you rock and roll style moments. He'll give you more introspective slow down moments. He'll give you the sing-along moments. He'll give you moments where he's just barn heavy. Nicki Minaj, to me, is all sing-songy, sing-along moments, and shaking her ass. Outside of those two aspects, her stage show is not that great to me. Marketability, lyricism, 2 Chainz, to me, they have a similar style. It's a lot of heavy metaphors and simile play. As far as syllable work, though, I think 2 Chainz jumps into more pockets there. He's more versatile as far as the lyric type. Like, he's not reliant on certain similar, I say in the same catchphrase, you my sons, you my sons, you my, like, I'm tired of hearing about Nicki Minaj's sons. That shit is redundant. So 2 Chainz won there for me. And then marketability, it was very close, but like Face said, the attitude is what changed it for me. I feel like 2 Chainz has been involved in more marketing campaigns, more shows, more opportunities, and a lot of it is due simply to his attitude. I feel like Nicki Minaj has probably had more chance to do these opportunities, but as far as who's actually made it through and followed through and we've actually seen as a part of these things, I feel like 2 Chainz is ahead. So, yeah.
30.
All right, so it's my turn, and you know what?
It's your guys? Time to shine.
I am going with Nicki Minaj because she has some ass shots. I'm joking. I'm not going with Nicki Minaj. I'm just joking. I'm joking. It.
Yo, she appealed to your anaconda and won, huh? Got it.
Yeah, hey, my anaconda don't want nothing. All right, that's enough of that. Pretty much, that's enough of that. Anyway. 2 Chainz marketability, I'm gonna give it to Nicki Minaj because the Barbs reign supreme, but everything else is 2 Chainz. Stage presence, 2 Chainz. I'm 2 Chainz cool, man. Every time I've actually seen him in person, he's been the coolest person. Like when he was with the Duffel Bag Boys or whatever, I was promoting and I actually promoted, got him to. They followed me to the club where he's supposed to perform and everything. It was just like, hey, man, get fucked up. Here it goes. It's on me. So he's all around a cool person. And then
Cool Chainz.
Same thing. I was like,
Cool Chainz.
That time I went to Atlanta, I randomly was in a club and he was there and he just passed blunts. And I was in the VIP. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, all right. Thank you, sir. I wouldn't do that now because of COVID, but yeah. Other main reason why. This is the main reason why I picked 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz can go on anybody's song.
He is Frank's, he's period. The Frank's red hot sauce of hip hop. Put that shit on anything.
2 Chainz could be on T.I., Lil Wayne. he could be on an Outkast song. Of course, Ludacris, he's been on a Ludacris song or whatever. But not just that. Not just that. Other rappers, other regions. Chance the Rapper. He's been on
Gucci.
On songs with Kendrick, Gucci.
Big Gip.
Big Gip. Not only that. Not only that. He's also been on songs with rappers you don't expect him to be on, like Fabulous, Jadakiss, West Side Gun. He was just on West Side Gun. He was just on Benny's album. Shit, I think he was on Conway's too. I think he was on all three of them niggas' albums, pretty much. Like, he's been on... I will catch a random 2 Chainz verse on albums I would not expect a 2 Chainz verse on.
Too many verses.
Period. He don't care who you are. If you underground, he'll put a verse up there. If you underground, you like it, put a verse up there. If you West Coast, it don't matter. He fits on everything. So that's why I picked 2 Chainz.
2 Chainz.
Tony
with the 5-0 victory, because that was also the Pod Squad's choice as well. So it wasn't just us, folks. The Pod Squad chose this as well. And if you disagree, Tony, or you want to have your voice heard in this coming week's bracket, as you can see, coming up this next week in the quarterfinals, we got Kendrick Lamar versus Rick Ross, Pusha T versus Royce the 5'9", Joe Budden versus J. Cole, and Big Sean versus 2 Chainz. If you want to have your voice heard, all you got to do is click the link in the description below on this week's podcast. Also, this will be on posted to our social media, the link to our poll. It's the same link as last week. So if you voted last week, go right back to that same link. The round 2 is open as of right now. As you are hearing these words come from my mouth, round 2 is available. So go ahead, click that link from last week. But yeah, get your votes in so that your 2 votes can be added to ours and you can break our ties or break our, you know, discrepancies. As you can see tonight already, we kind of were along the lines of the Pod Squad, but some of us definitely got outvoted. And next week, the debate will be even tougher because we get into the big dogs. The top 8 will now be whittled down to the final 4. So get your votes in, Pod Squad. Get your votes in. Click the link in the description below. Check out our social media sites. You will have the link there. And vote. Share the content. Vote some more. And vote.
Share.
Yeah.
Engage.
And that is this week's edition and round of the top MC of 2000s going into the quarterfinals next week.
So now I guess that brings us to my segment. So this week, I'm going to preview my new segment because I really love movies, man, and I've been watching movies all my life. I consider myself to be somewhat of a movie buff. So we can go into Faces Movies in Review, where I review movies in my own non-conventional way. I say non-conventional because I don't see movies through just one set of eyes, man. I watch movies more than one time, and as different facets in your life and different times of your life, you see different movies in different ways. So you watch it in your early 20s, it should be different when you watch it in your 30s. You should see that's other real things out the movies. So this week, I'm going to discuss the movie Norbit.
Okay.
So, first thing.
I did not see that coming.
Norbit was a good movie. I mean, all around. It had its ups and downs. I don't think it sold as much as it could have sold. I don't think the marketing campaign behind it was really where it should have been at, especially in Eddie Murphy's career. But that's neither here nor there. Now, with this movie, the first thing I'm going to talk about was while Nova was a comedy, it used humor to cover topics that are not normally talked about. One thing such as male domestic violence and male domestic abuse. In this movie, Rasputia, the main antagonist, kicked Norbit's ass most of the movie.
It ain't funny, but the way you said it, kicked Norbit's ass.
I mean, she seriously did. I mean, she fucked him up. She threw him through the window. She tried to she tried to kill this man. You feel me? To hit him in the head with a large speaker, knock him unconscious. But It was just seen as
abuse. I don't remember this movie as well as most people probably do. Like, I know it happened. I know I've seen
but
it.
It's true.
It was like, a bootleg one time real quick, and I kind of moved on.
Exactly. But you feel me? No one really looked at that. It was like, oh, she abused him. And they were just laughing at it. Ha, ha, ha. But reverse the situation and have Norbert beating Rance beat your ass. It's going to be a totally different music. I mean, it's a totally different movie, excuse me. Regardless of how much
it's going to be, it's going to be a Tyler Perry movie.
You feel me? It's going to be a different type of coming of the age movie. But this movie, like seeing it at a younger age, I didn't see that. You feel me? I see what most people see, and it's just the humor. Oh, she whooping this boy ass. Oh man, you better run. Oh, how you stand up yourself? But seeing it as an older man now with kids and a preteen. I see it a little bit different because it's different messages I'm seeing in the movie now. So, I mean, it covering that topic, even with humor, it tried to bring a different light to what some men are going through but don't want to speak up about because it's kind of, it puts shame to some men and some... And
it's kind of taboo.
The wife is scared. You feel me? Like, it's kind of taboo to be like, yeah, my wife beating you. Even, but that movie, it shed light on it. But moving on. The movie also covered other issues like self-doubt and overcoming the odds. Norbert is being an orphan. His parents abandoned him on the doorstep, threw him out the car as a baby, and he just rolled on the doorstep.
Well, damn.
And the wolves about to eat his ass when Mr. Chang came outside and got him another baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do not remember this movie. What in the hell?
Yeah.
What kind of shit movie was Eddie Murphy on? Was he out there and watched him?
And even from the beginning, they labeled him as an ugly baby. Even from the beginning, the dude picked him up and said, oh, we got another ugly one. Oh, it's a black one, another ugly one.
So, I remember that. I remember the little Asian man that Eddie Murphy played because it was a big like hubbub about him playing that Asian man.
Oh, that's a bigger woman.
All his childhood, he had self-doubt from originally being an orphan. So that had something to do with it. So growing up, with the male abuse he got all his life, because Grace Buescher made him be her boyfriend at a very early age. So all his life, he didn't have no real family. He just longed to be a part of something. So that self-doubt was in him.
Can you imagine that? Never having no other cookie?
You feel me?
Never, ever?
But
and the cookie that you
never
got,
even sniffing another cookie?
That's not even a cookie. That's a cake. That's a full cake. A full
That should have parfait.
But throughout the movie, man, he overcame the odds in the movie, and at the end, seeing his self worth and his potential, and did what he needed to do to stand up for himself. You think so? It's more of like that type of coming of an age movie where he overcome the odds of self doubt and became what he should have became. Next thing, this movie really really showed that true love never fails. That age old fairy tale. It focused in on Norbert, and I forget the young lady's name who played the actress or even her name in the movie, but as kids in the orphanage, they were both orphans. They fell in love at the orphanage. They played like they got married as kids. She got adopted. Of course, Norbert didn't. So he grew up his whole life. Eventually, she moved back to town. They dealt with whatever they needed to deal with. Got her. She was supposed to get married. He stopped the wedding. They ended up getting together, having love after. So one of them fairy tale love stories. You feel me? We meet, you leave, you come back.
I think her name was Kate. You
can get a galaxy. So I mean that the movie touched on a lot of different things. fourth thing about this movie, it was a very stacked cast, man. You had Cat Williams, Eddie Griffin, Cooper Gooding Jr., Eddie Murphy, Terry Crews, even the Charlie Murphy. It very stacked cast. But I feel like Clinton the cast
Powell.
And their comedic value was overshadowed by Eddie Murphy still playing multiple roles. You feel me? Like, I feel some of the roles in that movie he had, he could have gave up to some of those other actors, some of those other comedians. And
agreed. I would have liked to see Eddie Griffin as the Chinese dad.
You feel me? Like, something. You feel me? Like, because he has range, too. So I feel like that, even though that cast was stacked and that movie should have sold just based on how stacked it was, I feel like the performances was overshadowed by Eddie Murphy just doing his normal multiple character roles, even though they were still good characters. I don't feel like he had to do it. He didn't have to play Norbert Rasputia and Norbert and a dude from the and the Chinese dude. Like one of those roles could have been given to somebody else that was a comedian in that movie.
Right.
So like he could allow Williams and Eddie Murphy Eddie Griffin to explore that range more than just the little church scene with the pimps or just the scene outside. Like, they could have went more into that character, more character development with them. It could have been a little bit better with that. Last one. Was this movie really, really realistic, or did they really try too hard to be fun? I feel like they use humor to their advantage. The variety of different topics they covered, the humor really masked everything. So no one really focused on the drama in the movie or the romantic aspect. It's more just the all around humor, where underlying aspects of the movie, if you suck some of the humor out, it's a different type of movie altogether.
You definitely made me remember the movie in a different way, because I don't remember half of this shit, but all I remember is the big woman sliding down the water slide. That's like the only real scene I remember.
That's my goal.
She could never get out of the car.
That's my goal with this segment, man, is to make people just bring other movies back that are somewhat cult classics that I know a lot of people and a lot of different variety of people have seen. But you may have seen it once, but look at it again and look at through your different set of eyes you have now, because as we grow, we adopt different beliefs than what we had when we first saw a movie. So some things used to be funny to us, ain't gonna be funny now. You feel me? We gonna see a movie and be like, I never noticed that situation. Now, I didn't know he was beating her ass.
I never thought I would say this again after the first time I saw it, but you have me intrigued to see Norbit again. Like, I actually watched that movie again.
Overall, it's a very funny movie. Yes.
Yeah, it's a good movie, man. It's a comedy that with hints of romance, a dash of drama, and some damn good performances by some of your favorite comedians, man. So I do recommend the movie, but see it through different eyes. See it through the different eyes when you saw it the first time.
Right on.
My favorite scene is the puppet show.
The puppet show.
Norbit spazzed out on that pig.
You fat piggy ass.
What? You fat piggy ass.
Yo, like Norbit.
Well, I ain't a fan of no puppet pig, so I can rock with him on that.
Norbit was supposed to do a puppet show for the kids at the orphanage, for Mr. Wong's orphanage, and he just saw Rasputia with a personal trainer or whatever. He snapped Marlon and Wayne. Relapsed.
Oh, Rasputia cheated on him in this movie?
With Marlon Wayne.
This is crazy.
Mm-hmm. And the girl name was Kate. Man. The love interest. That love interest was named Kate.
You bitch was going to make sure that shit was named Kate, weren't you? Mm-hmm. You was stuck on that shit, boy. He was going to make sure we knew that her name was Kate, goddamn it.
I Googled that junk, man.
And if you didn't know, he's also single. Whatever else, I'm trying to think of the other shit that he's going to repeat.
Yeah,
he's single.
Yeah, don't forget.
Her name is Kate. Yeah. And pretty
microphone
much.
Microphone check, 1, 2. I can see you. That too.
I think it's about that time, man.
Oh, shit. It might be. It's definitely late enough for it to be that time. I feel the goofiness coming in. So it's about that time.
Oh, well, for real? You know what? Well, let me go. I need to get the GNF list out of my man bag since y'all brought it up. That's why I keep my pencils and artistic stuff. All right, so I'm going to pull it
reaching
right
into the
up.
Pet purse.
No, right. Don't call it a purse. my man
don't call it a man bag. That. It's been here for years.
Yeah. Anyway.
But it ain't time for man bags. I tell you what it is time for. It's time for
the good and buggery. I forgot I got this vaccine that hurt my arm when I put my arm up like that.
Episode, that's some fuckery there.
Yes, it is. Episode 45, good and buggery. Once I get my arm back, the techno-organic virus they put in me to beat COVID is kicking in. Anyway. Yeah, good and fuckery, episode 45. Let's start it off. All right. I'm going to start it off with my song of the week or whatever. Song of the week, AZ. Y'all might remember him from the classic Nas song, Life's a Bitch, and from the Firm album. AZ put out Do or Die 2, like about 2 weeks ago or whatever. He got the song with Rick Ross called Never Enough. And they got this girl singing up there. And if you can imagine an AZ with Nas song, it got the ambiance and everything. It's good grown.
Firm biz.
Yeah, they got the girl singing up there. You know what I'm saying? I can't sing, but she's singing her tail off on the hook.
All we missing is nature doing whatever it is that nature used to do for the firm.
Mm-hmm. Forever. And remember, forever is never enough. That's what the girl sang up there. Forever is never enough. Never enough. Pretty much. Freestyle of the week. J. Cole freestyle to Pipe Down. Whatever. I don't know if y'all heard it, but Pipe Down is a song off of Drake's CLB album.
But I haven't heard this freestyle.
Yeah, it just came out last week. I think it was to kick out the off-season tour, pretty much. And it was good. He went in. Like,
since they're going to flag it anyway, like, I might just start off our live show this week with that. Just so I can hear it officially.
J Cole went in on that joke, man. And he went in so much that he started off-season tour, I believe, in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And Miami had a special surprise because Drake came out. Now, Drake came out. He came out. He did your favorite song off of CLB, Knife Talk, with 21 Savage or whatever. Then I think he did one more. He came out with Now Later, that with Lil Durk, that song.
Okay.
Then he did Knife Talk.
I love that song too. That's me and my son jam right there.
And then he did, I'm Too Sexy, that jump. You know,
I hate that song. Right, I've come to the conclusion.
I mean,
video, I love the video, hate the song.
I like the beat. Like, if I just listen to the beat all to itself, the beat kind of like, I was like, all right. Yeah. It's just that I never liked that. I always thought that Right Said Fred song, I'm Too Sexy, was corny. So that's probably why I don't really put with
agreed
it like that.
Agreed.
But in the J. Cole freestyle, he actually brought up the subject of people saying he's bronze, he's number three compared to Kendrick and Drake, and this, that, and the third in the rap.
Ooh.
So when Drake came up there, he was like, "Hey, I know. Yo, do my brother. I know I don't want to make every time we on stage a sentimental moment, but earlier last week, you brought out that Pipe Down freestyle or whatever, and I just want to address something. Now, you know they did it in dramatic fashion, so everybody's like, oh, shoot, are they about to go in right then and there? But it wasn't really like a diss. You know what I'm saying? But it did sound like confrontational, like, hey, I'm still shooting for y'all spots type.
Mm-mm.
But it was more introspective on J. Cole's side. He seemed like he was more looking at himself like, hey, why I'm not considered this and that, pretty much. But Drake, this is the cool part. Drake
J. Cole,
said,
you better
hey,
than Drake to me, actually.
I'm going to tell you what Drake said. Drake, for everybody, was like, hey, I know you put it up, but I want this to be clear. You are one of the greatest rappers that have ever touched a mic.
Long as he admitted. All right.
In front of everybody. And I just thought that was.
Look at that. We don't see that often in rap.
Yeah. And I mean, I just thought that was cool.
Well, like, respect to Drake for being honest about. I can respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Big man move.
Yeah, and he was like, yo, it's way too many people in this world and just way too many people here and in this world that already know that J. Cole is at the top of the pole when it comes right. to pause, when it comes to lyrics.
Yeah, I'm everything. Surprised FaZe ain't started giggling.
Yeah, I know. He do that shit every single time. But yeah, I just thought that was a cool moment or whatever. And yeah, freestyle a week. If y'all get a chance, J. Cole, Pipe Down.
Oh shit.
Pretty much. So more good than fuckery this week. There's a lot of big things that's happening. I mean, and it's to be expected because September just seems to be the start of a lot of things in general. First things up, Rihanna had a Savage X Fenty fashion show, and it was a lot of stars out there. Erykah Badu performed. That was glorious. I believe Busta performed. There was a bunch of other people out there. And just want to put that out there that Rihanna is doing great as one of the few black female billionaires that we have out here right now, pretty much. The next thing I got on the list, Dave Chappelle is making his own comedy club in his hometown of Yellow Springs, Ohio.
Before you get into that, can you go back to the last story one more time?
The last story? Oh, okay.
Running to grab water, my people.
Oh, I was just basically bigging up Rihanna for her Savage X Fish Fenty fashion show or whatever. It was a lot of like big names out there. Erykah Badu performed. Busta Rhymes performed. It was a lot
salute
of
good the queen. Performances. Salute the queen. Right on.
Yeah. And I just want to big up because it's not that often you can celebrate a black female billionaire.
This is very true. So damn show salute to that.
Yeah.
And let me borrow $20.
And the fuckery is, I don't think we'll have a Rihanna album anytime soon. She's way too busy. She might just have one money. In the cut. She may have one just in the cut, but
she making that money. She ain't thinking about singing shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't, unless you know, really want to. But hey, back to the other thing. Dave Chappelle, he's building a comedy club and his and restaurant in his hometown of Yellow Springs, Ohio, stating that I'm not just trying to make a club, I'm trying to make a way, basically as a way and an outlet for up and coming comedians to get their feet wet, if you will, pretty much. It looks like the Yellow Springs Planning Commission approved the plans like September 15th. So he's right on the way of getting that started here, pretty much.
Respect.
Next thing on the list, some black excellence for you. It was funny that you brought up black women and STEM programs, pretty much, because we got two black women, the first black women to be inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame in its nearly 50-year history.
Salute, queen.
Yeah, it's two of them. Engineer, I hope I'm saying her name, Marion Croak, and I don't know how to pronounce this. Her name is Patricia Bath, but her occupation is it ophthalmologist? She's an ophthalmologist, or whatever. I have to look up what that is. Pretty much.
If I'm not mistaken, that's eyes.
Eyes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But they're going to be recognized in the 2022 National Inventors Hall of Fame.
Nice.
Pretty much.
Salute, queens. Let's go, queen. Man, black folk taking over. And I don't mean that in like a subjective, like a way of like subjugation or nothing. I mean that more in the way of like, we breaking down some barriers here lately. Like as much as stuff is trying to like take us backwards, we making some inroads here, man. Salute to the queens, man.
And they said it was like, It was like 48 female inductees and 30 black inductees in the National Inventor Hall of Fame. But they will be the first black female.
Right. Respect, queens. Respect. Keep blazing those trails, man, for us to walk right behind you in them doors. I love it.
Next thing, since we brought it up also, and I just saw this earlier or whatever, Brothers Keeper is a Virginia Beach support group for men, provides outlets to talk out issues and seek mental health treatment. Patrick Payton stood under a tent in the driveway of his brother-in-law's Green Run home and starting his new support network on this late August evening. About 10 men gathered as they do each month to vent, get advice, and talk about the things that don't feel comfortable sharing with others.
Big respect, man.
He said,
salute the hell out of that, man.
Yep. Well, what he got me was, he said that I'm a mechanic, but it's not my passion. He's most happy when he's racing on a skateboard. He said, and wants to own a skate shop. It would be for everyone, but particularly minority skaters who are, and then freaking Newsbreak puts up a dang ad as I'm trying to read it or whatever. But of course, no, I get your newspaper anyway. I get your newspaper anyway. I don't need to sign up pretty much. I don't need a false sale. Like every time I move this thing, it's another ad that pops up every time to move it. Yeah. But yeah, he was saying when he was younger, he was into skateboards or whatever, and that wasn't the usual thing for a black guy to be into skateboards or whatever. And he said he was always into it, but it was like pretty much like one of the back of mind type thing, pretty much. And I kind of relate to it on like my comic book kick, pretty much. So
right on.
Yeah, they're Brothers Keepers. They're located in Virginia Beach. If you're in the 757 area in Virginia, you
man,
know,
reach out Virginia to Beach that. Is. Hey, fellas, so, if you ain't got nobody else to unload to, there you go. Use that resource, man. Like, mm-hmm. don't end up like me, man.
Unload on.
Catch it before it gets too far.
Yep. So, next, just like you said, Tiz, black people are killing it. One of those black people, Curtis Jackson, 50 Cent, he released the first episode of BMF, Black Mafia Family, and it is being received very well. I have yet to see it, but he basically got Big Meech's son to play Big Meech, which I think is also great. Yeah, I think that's also great. And just off of looking at social media, just everybody's reaction or whatever, yo, everybody is in agreement. I haven't seen, you know, usually you'll see somebody to say, man, all right, what's up with this? What's up with this? But I only seen good things. The funniest thing that I seen was somebody said 50 Cent is trying to make a Marvel Cinematic Universe for drug dealers. That was hilarious. That'd freaking be interesting. Hilarious. Because, you know, he got BML, Power, Raising Kanan.
He like, got his own, know. The Supreme Team from Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's building something up here, man. Like,
hey, man, go ahead and let Majestic meet Ghost and Meech.
Plus, I just like seeing old rappers doing well. Because in the past, we've seen too many rappers
doing the opposite. Like, you ain't never lied.
Doing the opposite. Yo, I've seen some of my favorite rappers have regular jobs or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's a lot of them that end up like Elvin from The Cosby Show.
Rest in peace, Sean Price. He straight up said, yeah, I was doing construction and then I started going back into rapping again. So
that's real.
Yeah. May he rest in peace. But yeah, big ups to 50 Cent. BMF. I'm gonna be watching it soon because everybody got me sold pretty much. I never really was I never got into Power because I just never had time to. I pretty much was always working whenever Power was going on because I was working overnight. But I will say it was like that Power versus Empire phase in TV. And I was a Power person because Empire just seemed corny to me, pretty much. Just off of the
I ain't never watched Power, but I definitely need to finish that Wu-Tang saga, and this BMF give me that type of vibe. So
I just started that. Yo, I just started Wu-Tang. All right, to go on a tangent, yo, or whatever. And it's great that you brought that up because I'm going to go into something. I just watched Wu-Tang. I'm just now starting the first season for the first time, and I am tripping out so bad that Raekwon and Ghostface literally wanted to kill each other, and I'm thinking they like best of friends, cousins, like related. Like, I'm like, yo, and I'm sitting here. The only thing I want to see now is so when did these niggas get cool?
Right.
When did these niggas get cool? But I do remember the show gave me a lot more perspective of how far they were, because I do remember RZA on Breakfast Club talking about, talking about the show and how they literally wanted to kill each other or whatever. But man, that show kind of given me a lot more respect for Raekwon and Ghostface. Just in general, like, it makes me like want to listen to all their stuff now and just be like, it became more real to me, pretty mm-hmm. much.
I understand. But, I definitely get that vibe from that show, but I'm pretty far in, so I ain't gonna ruin it for you. But
nah. I mean, technically,
we get through season one, we're gonna have to talk.
Technically, I already know what happens, but I don't, mm-hmm. Know exactly I don't know. How.
I know how. The end result, but I don't know none of this journey because I'm learning so
in
much.
In between. And then it tripped me out. Like, I knew Method Man, that's my, favorite rapper, period, anyway. But, I knew Method Man, nickname was Shotgun or whatever, but I still wasn't used to people just call him Shotgun. It wasn't after a while that I realized, oh, that tall nigga is Davey. Yeah. Davey's kind of looked like extra light skinned Method Man in the mm-hmm. faith. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I thought Davey's has done a good job in that show.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm happy I get to hear verses from Method Man I ain't never heard before or whatever. And, yeah. His story kind of explains Method Man and how he acts to me. Like Method Man and how he, Method Man still kind of has that. He's 50 years old, but he still got that, I don't want to say childish, but that youthful energy to him and how he grew up kind of explain it. But it's funny we got into a tangent about the Wu-Tang show because Ghostface Killah is coming out with Supreme Clientele 2 and Kanye West and Mike Dean is executive producers.
That ought to be interesting.
That would be interesting.
That's an interesting sound for him to rap on.
I think it would fit because Kanye West has stated before that he's made beats and they were designated for Ghostface, but they were given to somebody else. Blueprint, Song Cry, that was for Ghostface. Like a lot of the beats that was on Blueprint, all the soulful stuff. That was really originally for Ghostface. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, pretty much.
Indeed.
And then Snoop Dogg announced today that he's going to have a new album called Algorithm. And we never know what to expect of Snoop, pretty much. And nothing else new out of it. He just announced it today. So I don't have any other information off of that, pretty much. Whatever. My light went out.
Okay.
And it's funny, y'all brought up Pusha T too, because he's back with the Neptunes and he's about to come out with another album soon. So yeah, y'all get to go ahead and back all the shit y'all just said earlier.
Let's go, Push.
Or whatever.
Ugh. Ugh. I don't fuck with your bud.
This pedal got shit to do with your butt.
Nothing.
It's just taking free good shots. Interviews from time to time.
We're gonna have to have an episode where we talk about what has Joe Budden done to you.
What?
That's past. I just don't like his music. That's this nigga beef back in the day.
Yeah. I think the problem with Joe Budden music is most of it wasn't mastered and mixed right. So that was probably one of the main reasons and stuff.
Hold on, what were we talking about though?
We were actually talking about Pusha T coming out with a new album with the Neptune.
Thank you. right on.
Leaning more on the fuckery side. Jill Scott was on this. She was on this podcast, I think, with Jamil Hill, and mm-hmm. she's actually considering leaving America and moving to Holland.
Oh, because okay.
Just because she has more, she has with her 10-year-old son now, and well, I think he's actually older than 10 or whatever. I think he's 12 years old, but he's actually talking about driving. And as a mother, she's in fear of her black child out there, the way the world is, police and everything.
I can understand.
And she said that it's certain things that we shouldn't have to worry about. And in certain countries, we don't have to worry about them. So she's done her research and she's actually thinking about moving to Holland or whatever. She just says that it's a lot more freer or whatever, as far as like people do what they want to do and it doesn't impede on other people pretty much. So
that's real. That's
whatever. Everybody like pretty much keep to themselves or whatever. They do their own thing. And it goes along with a lot of people that I've seen, black people that I've known that's gone out of the country or whatever and come back and like tell me, yo, they love us out there. Don't let the media fool you. That is true.
Everywhere I've been out of the country, and mind you, I've only been to three places out of the mainland country, two places that are actually out of U.S. jurisdiction. And that's Jamaica, Mexico, and Puerto Rico. But what I can tell you, there seems to be a genuine, like, they fuck with us. Mm-hmm. They don't like our government that much. But us as people,
I come to the conclusion that I think people outside of the country, if they like black people, is because they hate America and we're like the first line of defense when calling out America on their bullshit. I think that might be part of it. I ain't gonna say that's the only thing.
Hey man,
I don't think
as much hate as our people have experienced. Anytime you telling me it's like involved and it ain't, oh, they're killing us or they hate us, or I'll take it. I'll take being that defense, and that's fine with me.
But yeah, people, I'm about to wrap this all up because the meds is kicking in, and as I told you, I just got vaxxed tonight. So we're gonna stop the fuckery. We're gonna stop the fuckery off with one main fuckery or whatever. I ain't put it even up there on the docket, but one main fuckery. R. Kelly is convicted. He is,
man, about that gone. Time.
He is out of here. Like, he's, yeah.
My thing with this R. Kelly shit, they tried to make this like the trial of the century or some shit, man. The nigga was a perv. You put him in jail. Okay.
Yeah.
Lock this motherfucker up and just do his ass like you do every other pervert. Forget about his ass. Lock him up and let him punish whatever they're going to punish. I'm like, fuck him. Shit.
They do that because they don't got no...
And fuck the people that was outside of the courtroom sitting there protesting his guilty verdict. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't care what you think of me. I mean that.
I will say...
Fuck you with his dick. I said...
I will say, in the defense of the people that have brought it up, they was bringing up that a lot of the charges that he got were... some of the charges were like trumped up charges, like racketeering and stuff like that. But
now I will hear that because that you can't have racketeering and only one damn person get convicted or something. Yeah. Not a definition of racketeering. It means it was a group effort.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to let the enterprise get convicted too. You can't just have a criminal.
But so, in order
the rest of that for, shit.
I mean, and people can say, yeah, they stacked it up there or whatever. And
they charged him with RICO so they could actually present the evidence that they needed to get him on the other counts, man. And what we ain't about to do is use a technicality to try to keep excusing for, like, man, yo, everybody that grew up in my era, we seen the tape. Let's stop fucking around with this dumb shit.
That's what I was saying. I was saying, when you get to a point, all right, that's cool if the person is not guilty. Bring that stuff up when they're not guilty or whatever. But when you doing dirt,
come on, bro.
When you doing dirt, you can't really be mad when the system is doing dirt against you. Cause you if you won't doing dirt, you wouldn't even be put in that position.
He's sick.
Like R. Kelly, you were in a position to keep yourself away from trouble, period, or whatever.
He's sick.
And you could say he's sick all you want, but man, you got...
Why are we even like... Look, man, that nigga guilty.
It's 20 years.
I'm glad they convicted him. Good riddance, motherfucker. I don't have no sympathy for you.
But yeah.
I don't give a fuck about you writing Step in the Name of Love. I don't give a fuck about none of that. I'm done, man.
When I was young, I always felt uncomfortable when R. Kelly was playing anyway, because I'm like, yo, mind you, when he came out, it was 93. I was 10 freaking years old. And I'm in 10 years old at a cookout, and this man is basically just saying out loud, I'm having sex, pretty much. Like, I'm not supposed to be hearing that at 10. I'm 10 years old, and I know I ain't supposed to be hearing that at 10. Or whatever. He just always seemed like a creep to me. Mind you, hey, I hate to admit it, and I know a lot of people hate to admit it. He made some great songs, but man, there's been a lot of crazy people that make great music, great art, or whatever.
Yeah,
you could have made all that stuff
good with all that bad sick rubbish stuff
going on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Boy, so have eclectic so, art. But I'm glad that motherfucker is locked up.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. So, yeah, this is episode 45.
Oh, and you ain't cover it. But just want to say, man, let's stop jumping to conclusions just because somebody's family member say something. I don't know what the hell going on in this Kelly Price situation. But if Kelly Price has said that she all right and that she just needs some time because she's sick with COVID, let that woman rest.
Yeah.
That should be case closed. We got it. All right. We done. Leave it alone. That's all I wanted to say. I don't know what that got to do with nothing, but.
I wasn't sure.
Boy, yo, this social media shit, man. We be way too thirsty for a story. Like, the lady said she got COVID and that was all that's wrong. So let's leave it alone. Let that family figure their own shit out.
I didn't bring it up because I wasn't sure about the story. And like you said, you know, social media could be so big on stories or whatever.
I don't know about all the stories, but I know I heard out of Kelly Price's own mouth that she had COVID. That's why she ain't want nobody around. Her and her sister are not close. So she don't know what the sister talking about, but that's pretty much sister it. One. So if 20, people can just some 15
minutes
that,
of fame.
Let that ride. So that's when in doubt, I'm gonna roll with the person who actually going through it. You said that that's what's going on, then damn it, all right. I don't got no reason to believe you lying because I don't know you. So leave that lady alone, y'all. Leave her family alone. Stop trying to be thirsty for a story out here. Social media peoples and bloggers and all that shit. Like, you know.
Yeah. I didn't. I wasn't sure about the story. I thought it was like a running gag or something like that. Because by the time I got to it, it was an open and shut case, so I didn't bring it up. And I ain't want to just be one of those people that just bring a story along and I ain't know nothing about it.
I'm not mad,
even though I'm pretty sure I've done that before, I ain't want to continue.
I understand, but I've heard enough about the story to pretty much get it.
Mm-hmm.
Leave that family alone. Let's stop being nosy, y'all.
Yeah, mind your business.
Mind your business. Mind your business.
And, well, speaking of business, whatever, I want to bring this up. Hey, I got my R-Trey hoodie, y'all. Look, I got it. Yeah.
Damn.
AC
83. And we just put two more, two new shirts on the site, too. Y'all can check them out. Every week we're doing at least two designs going up on the site. The site is rtreyclothing.com. Once again, it's rtreyclothing.com. rtreclothing.com. Come check us out, man. New stuff. We got the R-Trey Clothing stuff. We got the partners merchandise. We're also always coming out with new partners merchandise as well. We're coming out with new designs every week. Come check us out, man.
So if you want your merch, your partners merch, your AC83 clothing, one-stop shop. rtreyclothing.com. If you want to donate or support financially in any other way, feel free to go ahead and check us out on buymeacoffee.com/thepartners or patreon.com/thepartners. Where on Buy Me a Coffee, you can donate for as little as a dollar. And on both sites, you can actually become a member for as little as $5, where you get exclusive content, unedited episodes, stuff that has been deleted from YouTube due to copyright and other restrictions. You get all of the good, bad, and ugly of the partners. You get access to our Discord, members-only events, special Pod Squad promo codes for rtreyclothing.com, et cetera, et cetera. You want to be connected. You want to be a member. You want to be down with the Pod Squad on a whole nother level. Go ahead to buymeacoffee.com or patreon.com and become a member for as little as $5 or buymeacoffee.com/thepodness to donate for as little as a dollar. If you want to donate a little easier, you can always donate via Cash App at $PodNatiz1. That's $PodNatiz1. And yeah, man, if you want to get in touch with us for non-financial reasons, how can they do that, Pat?
Yeah, all our social medias at THEPODNAS. That's TikTok, that's Twitter, that's Instagram, that's Facebook. Also with Facebook, we have Tiz, FacePat, are the Podness. So we got two Facebooks, but you can put the Podness in the search and you will find us. Hey, come if you got any questions, any comments, any suggestions for our live show.
Yes.
I want to vote on the MC bracket that we have or whatever. That's there. Especially, I believe Tiz got it up there on Twitter too. So, indeed. Yep, at THEPODNAS, you'll find us.
That's it, man. Check us out everywhere, man. And if all of that was way too much for you to remember, like, what was that? Where do I get the clothes? How do I get the membership? Who donated and where? Don't worry about it. We got you. Just go to thepodness.com. That's THEPODNAS.com. THEPODNAS.com. All of the information is there. Check out our episodes weekly there. You can check out that. You can get easy access to the live streams. Yeah, man. Thepodness.com is where it's at. Check us out there. Everything is there. Go there right now. In the meantime, if you want to support on the easiest way possible, I got you. Just like this. Share this with people. And subscribe if you haven't yet, if you're new, so that you don't miss any of our weekly content. Otherwise,
like button.
It's been a pleasure, guys. If you need help, if you're going through stuff and you don't know where to turn and you just need some guidance or just somebody to listen for a second, hit us up, thepodnesspodcast@gmail.com. I'm going through stuff as well, guys. So let's go through it together. I got your back. Because I might need to help my damn self. In the meantime, I've been your boy Tiz, 1/3 of the Podness. And I have been along with
other third of the Podness, Vax Pat Awan.
What?
Vaxed Pat.
Oh, I was like backpack. I was like, what is
not
that?
Not backpack.
Backpack Awan.
Not backpack Pat. Not backpack Awan.
Is that Pat Awan?
The rat attack. All right.
Place, man. Big peace out. Once again, like, comment, share. Like, comment, share. Thank y'all for tuning in. We love y'all.
Love y'all, man. Thank y'all for joining us another week. Peace.